covetousness. So when they step out, God is not with them. And they come to tell stories of how they stepped out and nothing happened. Forgetting that the foundation of their stepping out was covetousness and God didn't back it. It was jealousy, competition. My friend has done well. Me too, I should. I mean, the man has been making pure water now. He has a lot of money. So money must be in pure water. So he goes to pure water because of strife. He said, you have not because you ask not. And when you do ask, you ask amiss. You don't get it. What do I mean by asking amiss? You ask for your own lust. You ask in strife. You ask in contention. You ask in competition. That if you had asked properly, you will always get what you ask from God. Are you getting the point I make? That's why I'm saying this. Everyday things happen. And I realize that we always sit down and do nothing. You see, yesterday I was teaching in the medical students, the class I was teaching. I just told them something. I said, you see, a lot of times in the country we say things don't work. I said, but the truth is that things don't work, not because the everything is really bad, but because we don't want them to work. That we don't do what is necessary to make them work. I started giving examples. In fact, what led to it is that there's one kind of test we do for tissue specimens, which is not available in Nigeria generally. All right, a few centers where they do research like Ibadan, they try, but mostly experimental. I said, but for me, as a pathologist in UNTH, for every patient that requires it, they can get it. The students are a bit surprised. I said, do I do here? No, I just send them to the UK. And it is as cheap as any test you want to do locally. Immunohistochemistry, that's what I'm talking about, for those of you who understand what I'm saying. I just packed the tissue block. Cost me less than 200 naira to send it to the UK. Less than 200 naira. There's a way I do it. And my friend receives it, conducts the test. We pay for it, ranging from 10 to 60 pounds, depending. And then in a few days, in fact, the day he finishes, he wires it back to me, email. I download the attachment, print it, and send back to the doctor. That test stands anywhere. It was done in London. You know, it stands anywhere. But you know, people every day here sit down lamenting. Things don't work. Things don't work. I said, but at least between Dr. Izome and me, things work in that area. At the point in time, I even talked to my colleagues. I said, do you know one of the commonest crimes in Nigeria right now is mobile phone theft? Every day, people are being harassed at gunpoint for things that sometimes are not worth more than 5,000 naira. One of our brothers in church, a colleague, said one day came out of his house. He wanted to lock his gate when a middle-aged man, surprising, I thought it would be a young boy, came armed, had a revolver in his hand, pointed and said, give me your phone or I shoot you. He said what scared him really was that he forgot the phone initially and he just went back to take it before this goat came. That if the guy had come 5 minutes earlier, he would have had him telling him he had no phone on him and would not have believed it. He said, this guy was obviously on something. Now, there's a reason why I'm telling this story. This happens every day. Mike, you were telling me the other day, and it happens every time in Lagos. On the bridge, they come from car to car, knock your window, to remove your SIM card. Those Lagos guys, they will give you time to remove your SIM card. You know why it pains me like this? With a stroke of the pen, this can be ended. If the GSM network start blocking the IMEI codes of stolen phones, it's very simple. Pick your phone. Once you leave here, whip it out, dial the number, *#06#. A number flashes about 16 digits on your phone. That is your IMEI number. Only your phone has it anywhere in the world, and it transmits that number every time you use the phone. In London, it was a few years ago, that was the highest cause of violent crimes, mobile phone theft. Then it stopped overnight. Why? Because the GSM networks just did what they are supposed to do. Once a phone is reported stolen, they don't just block the phone line number, they block the phone IMEI number. That phone is useless in that country, and it's useless in the whole of Europe. So a man steals your phone, he can't use it. So mobile phone thefts stopped. The only ones that continue are those who raid warehouses. Because that one, they will now export it to developing countries who don't. Now, you know the interesting part? So one day I talked to one manager, one of the GSM companies. I said, why don't you guys do it? Then they gave me, that was an accursed answer. And may God judge all of them for it. He said that they recognize that if they block it, a lot of phones in Nigeria are stolen. So the usage of the networks will drop. It's not hard. It's a matter of policy. So I told myself, if next time I go for an NMA meeting, I will tell them this. It's not every time you go on strike for salary increase. Get up and tell NCC, we give you 21 days. If you don't instruct the GSM networks to start blocking the numbers of stolen phones, we will stop attending to any one of you. NLC should stop fighting the government all the time over money, salary increases and increasing in fuel price. Get up and tell NCC that we give you 7 days to instruct these GSM networks to start blocking the numbers of stolen phones. Otherwise, no tanker moves in Nigeria, no car moves in between states, and will cripple everything. You know, the government won't even debate with you because you are asking for the good of everybody. You stand to gain nothing. These things are so simple that it's irritating. You know, they told us before, per second billing was not possible in Nigeria. Less than a month after Glo rolled it out, they all did. They became miracle workers. The love of mammon. But nobody does anything. We all keep quiet. Look, I told you that my bank, they took 1,000 naira from my account. I finally found out the reason why. They said for what do you call it? For their ATM cards. I said, you need to ask me whether I want it or not, like other banks do. If I apply for it, then you deduct my money and give it to me. Because I had already applied in UBA. Why should I take your own by force? So when my wife told him, her friend and former colleague worked there, the guy said, okay, if I complain too much, you'll refund me my 1,000. I said, he doesn't get my point because I intend to carry out my threat. I am writing to CBN to complain about those practices. If everybody keeps quiet, that's how they go get away with it. I will not keep quiet. One of our friends that came from this convention I went for, I told him, is this right? He said, if you report that, something will be done. They will be sanctioned for it. I said, very good. I'm writing to their manager this week, telling them to refund my 1,000, and that will not save him from the trouble. I will still write to CBN. Let me clear my conscience. Because we all sit down. Like somebody said, they came to take the Catholic. I said nothing because I'm a Jew. I forgot who said it. I think it was one American president. Then they came for the Protestant. I said nothing because I'm neither a Catholic nor a Protestant. They came taking everybody until they came for me. There was nobody to speak for me again. They are taking everybody else before they got to me. It was trying to explain why America needed to enter the war. Do you understand the point I'm making? That when you talk about lights of the world, is the problem why the church has not prospered, why we keep on hearing messages that only encourage us to give offering to the man preaching, is because nobody seeks the good of his neighbor. I noticed something consistently in those stories I read in Catherine Kuhlman's books, those testimonies. A lot of those people, if not every one of them, they will say they enter the place and suddenly noticed that people around them were sick and suffering. They forgot themselves and began to pray for those around. Next thing they heard, that Catherine Kuhlman called her, somebody like this is getting healed. Then they snap back to reality. They are the ones. Before that, they were praying for those who were around them. We talk about light of the world. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. The reason why men don't prosper, even Confucius said it, the Chinese philosopher, that the fastest way to move forward is to try and carry everybody else forward. But everybody's standing on his own, trying to, you know, every prayer point. This year is a year of breakthrough. What are you breaking through into? And a new car, another house. You have not broken through on the passion you have to solve a problem around you. Everybody wants to just settle down in his own comfortable zone. One of the people that God said he will send to hell are the fearful. Are you getting my point? Who don't want to lose anything? Everybody, people have told me, every time people have told me that, one of my colleagues came to me that is, America is very good, though. I said, yes, I know. I said, but it's not your fault, sir. You stayed there for 1 month, you had free food. They gave you money for the course you went for. You come back and tell me something is very good. I said, go there and work and pay your bills, and I'll know whether it's really as good as you're trying to make me think it is. But I said, by the way, that is not the issue. The issue is a matter of vision. It's a matter of purpose. Where am I going to where it's very good? I'm supposed to go where I can make things better. Do you get my point? That is what we are talking about. Let me just say this one prophetically. Anybody that wants to revert the order of progress in this nation, come 2007, the man will die suddenly. I'm telling you, look, all this one they shout about third term, first term, second term. Do you know, I'm not moved by it. What moves me is that we keep prophesying good about this nation, and if you stand against it, you will die suddenly. Whether you are a president or a legislator or whatever, you get what I'm trying to say. I started by saying something that God said, before I can do anything, what I require are men of faith. Men who will say it before they see it. Jesus said, did I not tell you, it don't matter, that if you believed, you will see the glory of God. That is when I declare good about a nation like Nigeria. I'm not saying I saw it physically first. I'm telling you that after I finish declaring it, the physical things will begin to rearrange to conform with the declaration that I've spoken according to the word of God. That's what I'm saying. That, you know, remember I told you that a man of faith and a madman, it takes discernment to know the difference. You get my point? If the man has faith, he will look crazy. Men who have really made it in life, they have just, look, it's not like they were not afraid. That is, there was no cause for fear. There was. But beyond that, they said, even if I die, let me die. I've heard people tell me funny stories that when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were talking to Nebuchadnezzar, they said that they knew God would deliver them. That's not true. They said he's able. That's what they said. They said he's able. And even if he does not, we'd rather die than bow to your idols. That is, they did not love their lives even unto death. And Jesus said, the rule is that such people, they find it. They are the ones that won't die. The ones that said, no, we don't want to die, are the ones that die first. I was watching a film once. It's a movie though, but was based on some issues, you know. I don't know what they call that kind of film, but this guy was taking care of lions somewhere in Africa. An old man, a white man, he loved lions so much, he used to live with them. So one day, a young white guy came to help him walk with him for some time. And he too began to relax around lions. So one day, he was playing with one of the lions. And I don't know what he did. The lion growled at him. Wow. The boy saw that the eyes of the lions were not exactly friendly anymore. So he got up and ran. And of course, the lion took off after him. But good enough, he got to their jeep, opened the door, and ran into the jeep and closed the door. So the lion was now patrolling around the jeep, climbing it. But this is where I'm coming to. The man said something after to the young man. He said, you stand a better chance of surviving to charge a lion than to run from it. He said, you don't ever run from a lion. You want to survive? When a lion growls at you, turn, growl back at it. If he moves towards you, move towards it. He said, you have a better chance of surviving. And I realized that if you ever watch The Gods Must Be Crazy, one old movie, that was how that bushman drove away the lion who was about to whack his friend. He just jumped out from his hiding and charged the lion. The lion looked at the guy, turned around, and missed. You get what I'm trying to say? I remember once as a young boy, I was very young then, long ago. I went with my younger sister to a friend's house. They were not at home, but they had dogs in that house. So we're afraid to move towards that. Would these dogs attack us or they will not? And of course, the dogs smelt the fear. So we pulled back, and two or three of them just got up and charged. My sister ran first. And I ran towards her. The moment I got between her and the dog, I turned at the dog and raised my hand. Come and see breaking. Get my point? I remember very well. I don't think I was more than 10. I just ran towards her because she was the one they virtually faced. As long as I just got there, I just turned around and raised my hand. I had a stick in my hand. See break. The guy turned around and missed. Now, so life go do you. You run, it will chase you wherever you go. Adversity, you run from it here, it will find you there. But turn around once and face it. The guy go, look, who won't die? He go find cheaper prey. Why are you? We won't kill him. Even lions do it. When they see a pack of animals, they wait for the ones that fall behind. They don't want to die. That's the way it is. Oh, Satan does not want to be cast out. So when he sees a troublesome fellow, you know the ones he likes? Come. This place, there's no trouble. Say yes.
It's a very good one.
Say, come. You know, here, nobody will harass you. He says, it's true. What he's doing is caging you. Then when you have entered, you cover the thing and screw the cover. So that one is in our bottle. Next. But the one that says, if you talk to me, say, you will be hungry. Say, let me be hungry. We'll come and shoot you. He said, try first now. Satan go look and say, this one is a troublesome fellow. Go to the next guy. No, I'm telling you the truth. They're like Nigerian policemen. If you beg them, you're in trouble. No, really. One thing I will not show you is that I'm afraid of you. You see, people always look, that's the principle of life. They're only looking for weak people. Anybody that has small power, looking for small people. I was telling you the other day about this refuse control people. They will come to my gate and come and drop bill for 20,000 naira. I said, come and collect it now. As if you carried my refuse. But go to a high density area. They go there to collect their money by force. But when they come to our area, they are afraid that you either you will call police or release dogs. Or when they threaten court, you to bring your lawyer. Then go look, say this one. It's a troublemaker. Let's go and look for easier people to collect their stuff. And that is the typical behavior of Satan. Men who broke forth in life always challenged him. You will die, oh, your wife will die, oh, you will go hungry. Oh. He said, yes, let me go hungry first. Then suddenly, the guy will realize that there will be temptations with hunger. After some time, the food is so abundant, he doesn't think about food anymore. But those who didn't want to go hungry, every month they will still be calculating differentiation and calculation on the price of tomato. Every month. Listen, I'll tell you, around me, I see things every day that lets me know that I'm a connected man. It's not because I don't know big men, but I know crazy young men. So I'm connected. Look, I have a friend downstairs who's doing things. In my mind, this thing will go very far because I know the guy is broke as he's doing it. No, I'm telling you, he's broke as he's doing it. The guy go broke hard, but he continues. So this guy will go far. Psalm 126. It said, restore our captivity, O God. God said, those who sow in tears shall reap with joy. They go forth weeping, bearing their bag of precious seed. They don't have anything more than this. Said, they will doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing their sheaves, that is their harvest, with them. I said, I'm connected. Anybody looking for comfort? No, be your type. Do you understand my point? Life no go answer to you. No, it won't. Paul said, the advantages I had, I looked at them, I counted them dung. That is when everybody said things should be easy. I said, well, it is good for a young man to bear his burden in the days of his youth. One of the reasons why young men, listen to this, don't make it in life, is they listen to their parents at a particular age. You get my point? You know what they want? They want security for you. Just take this job. You know, one day you two will become a big man. How many of you ever watched Coming to America? By this guy. What is his name? Eddie Murphy. Remember that guy? That fat white guy who was flipping burger. You understand? He looked at them and said, I started mopping just like you guys. Now I'm on fries. In 2 years, I'll be made assistant manager. That's when the big box starts rolling in. And Akim said, just 2 years, huh? All right. The guy was thinking of what he's calling big box. What is this small-minded fellow calling big box? But that guy won't leave that job for anything. Because one day, the big box will start rolling in. If you are a Jacob, remember what we always say? God will get you. The day before the big box starts rolling in, you hear Tua. The roof will come caving in on you. The boss will say, I don't like you anymore. You are hereby sacked. Like my pastor said in that tape, I don't know how many of you have not yet gotten your own copies or copies from somebody. Please listen to it. The inheritance inside the new man. That is the message. He said, the new day starts with darkness. He said, unfortunately, that's where most people give up.
Are you getting the point I'm making?
Listen, this is what God wants believers to do. Strike out. Do you understand my point? Now, there's something I should end with. Don't forget, what God says is do not fear. Every time he meets people, he says, why did you doubt? Doubt and fear go hand in hand. And let me tell you something about fear and doubt. You know, we said that faith and doubt, they are the same thing essentially. Is that you believe something. Doubt does not mean you don't believe something. Doubt means you believe something different from what God wants you to believe. Do you understand my point? The issue, the difference between faith and doubt is what you believe. But you must believe something. It's when you disbelieve the one that God says, that's when you are said to be in doubt. Are you getting the point? That Jesus said to Peter, come. And as long as he obeyed and believed that word, come, he was floating. Then other voices began to talk to him. And this is the interesting part. There are 360 degrees in one circle, right? Only one of them is the voice of God. 359 are voices of doubt. Anyone you believe apart from the one that God is speaking, it is called doubt. That's why doubt is commoner than faith. I told you that night, I sat down and I was talking. The country is terrible. I said, I don't think so. He said, what do you mean? I said, I did a house job in this country. I couldn't buy a TV. Now house officers buy cars. You want to talk on material things? Let's look at that level. I said, let's look at that. Because you see, in life, you will see what you are looking for. Do you get what I'm trying to say? You will see it. Once you are looking for it, you eventually find it. If you want reasons to settle in your heart, you will find it. Are you getting the point I'm making? If you want the reasons to run to and fro and be unsettled, you will find it. Faith means that you have established your life upon those ones that God say. That's just what faith is. Meanwhile, doubt, which results in fear, is that what God has said, you have put it aside. Let's take Eve again as our example. God spoke to Adam, don't eat this, you can eat everything else. He told the story to Eve, and Satan came and said, has God really said? And Eve said, yes, he did. He said, it is not true. What he said is not correct. Notice, Satan never said God did not say. He just said the words that God gave you, they are inaccurate. Are you getting the point? So now began to explain other things. Look at it. Is it not fine? What he did not, Eve didn't bear in mind that God never said it is not fine. He just said, don't eat. He said, it can make you wise. God didn't say it will not make you wise. He just said what? Don't eat. That is why every scientific explanation to explain away the commandments of God is pure folly. Now, you see, they make it look as if you are the foolish one that can't see the evidence. I said, God never said that is not true. Do you understand my point? He just said, don't. Why? Because he knows more things than the ones you are quoting from me. So he told her, if you eat, you will become wise. And you know, God admitted it. At the end, when they ate, God said they have become like one of us, knowing the difference between good and evil. But they can't stay in the garden. They got to go outside. The earth will no longer yield increase for them. They will struggle like everybody else. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Remember what we said about Asa just now, 2 Chronicles chapter 16 that we read. The procedure that Asa used worked. But the challenge that God brought to him was to help him liquidate the Syrian army forever. Are you getting my point? You are following what I'm going to say. So faith is that whatever God has said, I have built my life upon it. Like, look, third term, first term, fifth term, no term. All I know is that blessing is going to come upon this land. All I know is that, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Like T.D.J. said, that we quoted some time ago, that Jesus never told Peter, the fish will not swim around your toes, and the waves will not blow once you step on the water. Did he say that? He just said what? Come. That's all he said. So, when the breeze was blowing, you know the best way to do it? Close your eyes and keep going. And that is what I do. They can't believe the armed robbers operated here yesterday.
I know. I said, the Bible never said it will not happen. He said, just said it will not come near me. That is all.
Ah, they came to the very next house.
I am aware. Thank you very much for the information. But this one, I'm not packing out. Do you get my point? I will not move. The robber will move. You follow my point? What I want to end with is, what do I now do when there are causes for fear? Do you follow what I'm saying? When the issue really comes up and you have to be afraid, physically speaking, that the thing comes to your face like this, fear, you have to believe us. We have come now. What do I now do? Do you get the point? Now let's get back to that story we read before. The story of Hezekiah in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 37. This is what I want to end with today. Let's just, because of time, I will just introduce that today. And then from next time, we'll continue and develop on that. What happened in 36 was the king of Assyria came up against Judah. That's Sennacherib. He sent Rabshakeh. He sent him and they began to rail against Judah and against Hezekiah. He told them, don't let Banki deceive you, that good will come upon you in this land. He said, don't let Hezekiah deceive you, that one God is able to save you. He said, all around, which gods have been able to save the people we have come up against? He showed them all kinds of things. Now, Hezekiah sent a word of encouragement to him, if you read around verse 5. So the servants of the king Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And Isaiah said to them, verse 6, thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid because of the words that you have heard with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will put a spirit in him so that he will hear a rumor and return to his own land. Now, let's just go on. Now, there was a letter that was sent to Hezekiah, taunting him still. All right? Then verse 14 says, Hezekiah took the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it, and went up to the house of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, who is enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Listen to all the words of Sennacherib, who he sent to reproach the living God. Now he began to tell God exactly the things that the man has done and what he is able to do. Do you follow what I'm saying? He said, truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have devastated all the countries and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. So they have destroyed them. He said, now, O Lord, our God, deliver us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, Lord, are God. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent word to Hezekiah, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, because you have prayed about Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word that the Lord has spoken against him. Because of time, let me stop reading there. We might examine some things later. But what I want to emphasize here is this, that God always requires a reason to do something. When he was going to bless Abraham, what did he say? Because of this thing that you have done. Therefore, do you understand my point? And when God wanted to answer Hezekiah here, what was the reason he gave? He said, because you prayed to me about your problem. That he didn't go around grumbling and sitting down in godless and jobless circles like everybody else, groaning and complaining about all the political turmoil in Nigeria and concluding that there is no hope for you and your children. Are you getting the point? That is, anytime there is trouble, you take it to the Lord and say, this is the problem. I am aware that this is the problem. They said, somebody said, if Obasanjo stays, the country will be torn apart. If he doesn't stay, the country will be torn apart. In fact, we are in trouble. I said, God said, I am the one that make wars cease to the end of the earth. You see, there's another option. Obasanjo can stay or go. As for the tearing apart of a country, it's not dependent upon his staying or his going.
God said, when I want to punish people, I turn the heart of the Egyptian against his brother. That it is God that turns hearts against themselves. That is, if there is mercy upon the land, it is a matter of kiss the son, lest he be angry, and you that's angry with the son will perish out of the way. Do you get my point? Yes, we know of a truth that men think this is what will happen. That the Assyrian king has come and bragged about what he has done before. But, like Hezekiah said, that was because God wasn't there. People were likening us to Rwanda and Burundi. One brother said, what they forget is a God factor in Nigeria. Do you get my point? That they don't remember that. They say, look at it. This man is towing the road of all the African presidents. I said, how many African presidents that tried to perpetuate themselves in office died suddenly? The only time it happened, it was in Nigeria. And that God that killed then, he's still alive. His purpose will be done. That's why I don't have to talk about... Look, I talked to Heka one day. I said, where did God say there shall be no totem? Show me. He never said it, so why should I shout? The Bible said, do not judge according to the seeing of your eyes or the hearing of your ears. You must judge with righteous judgment. One thing I know for sure is that if you stand against God's purpose in this nation, whether it's your first time or your third time or there is no time, you will die suddenly. That is all I know. I won't join anybody in protesting. I will carry my case in prayer. Do you get my point? Listen, that's what makes me a believer. Look, let me end. We have to go. But the first thing you do in the face of fear is you pray. Is any man afflicted? He said, let him pray. Are you getting the point? Honest, sincere prayers that expect results. Pastor Paul, you said something which I don't think I should ever forget. He said prayer is from the heart that knows it will get results. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm trying to say. That is, a grumbler cannot pray. That is, the only people that pray, that have effect, are those who normally are in faith and they have brought fear against them. So to fight their fear, they go to prayer. Look, you know, these days is in vogue. Express between Sagamu and Lagos is prayer grounds on the left, prayer grounds on the right. I am not criticizing anybody. But it is not going to prayer ground that makes prayers. In fact, let me just say this now so that Christians will understand. Gathering in places because you think God is specially there passed away after John chapter 4. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They asked Jesus Christ, where should we worship? Where should we pray? He said, in this mountain or in Jerusalem? He said, that time has passed. One day we'll talk about how to worship God in spirit. He said, that time has passed. That is, if I have a problem anywhere, I wind up in my car, I just begin to pray right there and then. Are you getting my point? God said, once I treat my issues like that, there was something Paul said in Philippians chapter 4. He said, you will discover that there is a peace that passes understanding. That everybody thinks you should be running up and down, but just cross your leg and you are not moving. You don't have a job. They come to your house and at 8 o'clock, you are still sleeping. He said, bros, why shouldn't I sleep? I don't have work I'm going to yet now. So anybody who really needs a job should be awake at 6. He said, it is vain to rise up early. If I have something to do at 6, I will get... They can't understand. At the end of the day, they say, this guy is slack. I've had that title bestowed upon me before. When my wife comes back, ask her again. At the point in time, she also looked and said, this guy is slack. He doesn't seem to move. You understand? So where am I moving to? I am settled. I'm rested. Seated on the right hand of God with Christ Jesus. One of my friends, one day I went to Lagos and his wife told me that she used to worry a lot. That her husband is my friend. That her husband just too relaxed. He said, but she has noticed something. Things always work out. Always. That is, the thing she's like, God, now go and talk to them. The guy won't get up. In fact, he has a bad habit. Those when we were going to church in Lagos, we used to go together. My wife and I used to go and wake them up. We are dressed to ready for church. Say, working, I don't come. Okay, wait now. May I quickly bath? I'm telling you, she told me one day that. He said, I think that there's no point really being worried. Because this guy, at the end of the day, no, things always work out well. Look, that's how you know a man who's going to places. By grace. And that by the time he's in his 50s and is, like I always say, on the boards of big companies, his BP is still 110 over 65. He's the type that puts cardiologists out of job. Like, they're not the sick. I will not use my health to buy wealth. Never.